You know, sometimes things aren't always what they seem to be, especially when you're dealing with a guy who goes by the term the great imposter. Let's meet him and see what's behind the mask.
His name is Richard Saunders. He's on the line with us now, and he's the author of the new book, Secret Agent Man. And Richard, nice to have you on the program today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right, well, I want to start with that. I think Bill Witt does too, the great imposter, because you've impersonated a lot of people or a lot of different roles, let's put it that way.
A lot of professions, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay, you're like a police officer, an attorney, a philanthropist, others. I mean, what's the goal here?
I was inspired by the original great imposter, Fred DeMauer from Lawrence, Mass., who was played in the movies by Tony Curtis. He was from my same hometown, and my grandmother used to babysit him, which I found out later. So that fascinated me, the idea that somebody from my neighborhood could grow up to become a great imposter, and it just kind of clicked that that's something I should try myself.
So when you tried this, and you've done this in some pretty big ways, for example, when you impersonated an attorney in a high-profile case, which just happened to involve Donald Trump, how do you take that to completion without getting caught? I mean, was that always a fear that you might get caught?
Well, in that situation, when I say impersonate an attorney, I went to federal court pro se, representing myself and with the intention of representing a protected class. So at that stage, I didn't have to be a card-carrying attorney, but I wrote the lawsuit. I went to federal court. I negotiated with Trump and Mark Burnett's legal teams. So I did everything a lawyer would do, so that I wasn't in danger in that situation of.
And what was the lawsuit about, Richard? What was the lawsuit about? Now, I'm sorry, I'm a little fuzzy.
Sure. With what I do is method writing, and I try and create drama in real life by interacting with interesting people in highly unusual situations that I orchestrate. I then fictionalize that episode and fold it into my novel. So I'm always on the lookout for interesting situations to engage with interesting people and create some drama. And with Donald Trump, when his television show The Apprentice started, I noticed the first season, the second season, the third season, every one of the 18 finalists for a job to work with the Trump organization was under 40 years old. And it clicked in my mind that, unlike any other reality show or television show, because after the cameras were shut off, the show was over, somebody walked into Donald Trump's organization with a salaried real-life job, and that meant they had to follow not just normal casting procedures, which in which they have almost complete leeway, they had to follow hiring practices, and I didn't believe they did that.
So what happened in the lawsuit, Richard?
For a age discrimination lawsuit, and what I was doing was, instead of just saying I was discriminated against, my charge was that they discriminated against the protected class, which is people 40 years and older, on a persistent, consistent basis. So I became somebody with standing. I had to get myself rejected for the show in order to go in and claim that they're wholesale rejecting a class. Then I went to the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and filed a complaint, which you have to do before you're allowed to take it to court. And they certified that the case had merit, wasn't frivolous, and allowed me issued a right to sue order, which allowed me to go to federal court against Trump and Mark Burnett.
How did it shake out? What was the final score?
Well, I'm not allowed to give details on the settlement, but I wanted to settle it quietly out of court, but and the Trump and Burnett organization, that was all of our goal. But what happened was that sharp 90-day window started to run out before we could finalize things. And in order to keep my leverage, I had to file it in court, and then it exploded in the media. It was international headlines back in 2007.
I hope you don't take this the wrong way, and I don't mean it in a derogatory way. This sounds like a It sounds like a frivolous lawsuit.
Well, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission thought it was a it was non-frivolous and it was substantial. And in fact, it was substantial. It would have been if I continued it and leveraged it to its full length. It could have been one of the largest class discrimination lawsuits, age discrimination and employment in the country. I mean, this is a real-life job, a $250,000 salary, and they completely excluded a protected class season after season after season.
I'm just thinking to myself, as I watch some reality television, I never think it's reality. I always think that it's a scripted show. I always think that they're going to have some productive angles
one,
on it.
Right. This is a game changer because, like I said, when the cameras are off and the show's over, somebody walks into the Trump Organization with a $250,000 salaried show. And in fact, some of those people still kept that job to this day.
Yep.
So these are real jobs, and they basically I kind of caught them in a situation where their own lawyers should have advised them that, hey, this is different. You need to cover your bases with employment laws. And instead, they went by normal casting procedures, and it was in a compromised situation. The show, the network, it spooked the network. The show never aired again as soon as the lawsuit hit, and they switched to Celebrity Apprentice, in which nobody won a job, and that way they had complete freedom to operate as they want.
Well, I've seen some of those celebrities. None of them could hold a job, so it was just as well.
So is this a story in Secret Agent Man? Or are you chronicling all of this?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes, and I fictionalize it. In other words, this isn't something that I would normally do in the course of my regular life, but it was just an interesting situation that I could get into and then fictionalize, and really just the names have changed. But the story is told with all the behind-the-scenes drama in the novel.
Richard, I have one final question for you. Who do you think will play you? Do you garner to see a movie that a Tony Curtis-like character will play you somewhere down the line, you know?
Well,
because of this?
That's remote, but being a New England, Massachusetts, New Hampshire guy, I'd like Matt Damon would probably be
Matt
good.
Matt Damon, all right, very good.
I could see that, sure. All right, well, where do we get Secret Agent Man?
In Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, anywhere online, and if your local bookstore doesn't have it, they can get it within 2 days from their distributor.
Richard Saunders. We think it's Richard Saunders, but he is the great imposter. You really are Richard Saunders, aren't you, Richard?
I am today.
Okay,
I am today.
There you go.
Who knows tomorrow?
There you go. Richard, always good. Well, it has been good talking to you this morning. I hope you'll come back again, but don't pay any attention to this show. This show has no money, so don't try to sue this
Yeah, there's
show,
no reason to go undercover here. So, yeah.
All right, man.
Yeah, no more lawsuits in my future that I anticipate. I knocked that off my list. The lawyer part is off the list. I'm on to other impersonations and other professions.
All right, sounds
interesting. Sounds like another book.
All right.
Thank you, Richard. Be well.
Okay, thank you very much.
What a story.
Right, indeed. I don't know that I would have the gumption to pull that off.
No, you would not.
I
Nor would I.
I don't think I would.